Can we bow our heads for prayer, please? Our most kind dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this convocation. I thank you so much for Jesus who has come and died for us to reveal his infinite love for us. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, O Spirit, that you will uplift Jesus and uplift his love, and that we will be drawn to thee, Lord. All these things I ask and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I brought a little show and tell today for what I'm going to share. And what I brought as show and tell is myself. This our theme is the love of God, and I'm using myself as what happens when we let the love of God come into our heart, when we accept God's love in our heart. I believe, as I've studied the Bible and God's Word, and as I understand more of what Jesus has done for me, I think that I could sum the gospel and everything up in one word, and that word is restoration. I believe that it means what he did for us was to restore us, restore me into his likeness. And that's what it says in Gospel Workers, page 49. It says, it was his mission, or Jesus' mission, to bring to man complete restoration. He came to give them health and peace and perfection of character. And I believe that's what it's all about, is restoration. You know? I invite everyone to open their Bibles with me to John 4:29. This is after Jesus met the woman from Samaria, and Jesus shared with her, and she was convicted of, and she went back to her village and called everybody there. You know, she felt drawn to the Savior, and in 29 she said, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And I invite you to come and see, you know, Jesus, what he's done for me and his love. And an interesting thing here, the word Christ, I looked it up in Strong's, and Strong's 5549, it says, a Christ means anointed. And I began to think, anointed with what? And anointed with the Spirit. Something very interesting, because in Isaiah 61, verse 1, if you could turn there with me, it's a prophecy, one of my favorite prophecies of Christ. It spells out the mission of Jesus right here, his whole mission, basically, right here in Isaiah 61. And in the preceding verses, it says, Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And this is what Jesus has done for me. He's, I used to be a captive to sin. And it's, I don't know if it's pleasures is the right word to use, but I used to be a captive, and Jesus has set me free, and this is what as I'm going to school, you know, I learn a lot of theory, but bottom line, if it's not practical to me, it just in one ear and out the other. And I believe that this is the practical way of God's love for me. I mean, for myself, and realizing what he did for me, and how he left heaven and came to this dark and wicked world to set me free from sin. Do you guys know what the greatest miracle that Jesus, one of the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did was, it says right here in evangelism, page 290, talking about the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did. The conversion of a human soul is of no little consequence. It is the greatest miracle of divine power. This is the greatest miracle that Jesus did. It's not, you know, I've asked people what they thought Jesus, greatest miracle that Jesus ever did. And they told me when he brought Lazarus back from the dead. And I think it's to change a wicked and perverse heart. I think this is the greatest miracle. If you could turn with me to John. Chapter 3. I think this is one of the most well-explained places in the Bible where it talks about conversion. And not only in chapter 3 does it talk most well. If we could turn to John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus. I'm sure all you guys have read it, so I'm not going to explain too much of it. But these are the conditions on us being able to be fit for the kingdom of God is to be born again, you know? And this is, in the Bible, I think this is the most clearest place where it talks about that. And something else that was very interesting to me, that not only does it talk about the conversion, but one of the most well-known verses in the whole Bible is in 16, for God to love the world, you know? And something I found very interesting is after it talks about the conversion of our heart, it talks, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right after that, it says that it calls our attention to the love of God. And something else, too, is also in 1 John, if you could turn with me there. Right before, I'm sure you guys know what 1 John 3:1 says, Behold what manner of love. Well, right before that, it also talks about being born again, or that conversion of the human heart. 1 John 3, the verse before that, it's in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 29, it says, If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And here again, you know, in the most profound places in the Bible that I found that word, just, you know, straight up, it just says the love of God, you know, and then right after that it says, Behold what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us. And right before that, it talks again about that being born part, you know. And this is what I've found about the love of God, you know. And the person who wrote these two chapters, John the Beloved, he's the person that, you know, he's well known that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's the one that wrote on love. I mean, most on love, as you could say. Desire of All the Ages, on page 295, you know, the person who wrote the most profound things on love, books in the Bible about love, he was not naturally like that, you know. He had traits of character that he was called one of the sons of thunder. And where did it go? Desire of All the Ages, page 295. Yeah, 295. Okay, here we go. It says, all the disciples had serious faults when Jesus called them to his service. Even John, who came into closest association with the meek and lowly one, was not himself naturally meek and yielding. He and his brother were called the sons of thunder. While they were with Jesus, any slight shown to him aroused their indignation and combativeness. Evil temper, revenge, the spirit of criticism were all in the beloved disciple. He was proud and ambitious to be first in the kingdom of God. But day by day, in contrast with his own violent spirit, he beheld the tenderness and forbearance of Jesus and heard his lessons of humility and patience. He opened his heart to the divine influence and became not only a hearer but a doer of the Savior's words. Self was hidden Christ. He learned to wear the yoke of Christ and to bear his burden. John, who wrote most profoundly on love, I mean, he was not naturally a very loving guy. I mean, according to this, he's called the Son of Thunder, and he was very... he must have been one very rough and rugged, to say the least. I guess the practical form of God's love is what he's done for me, and that conversion that has taken place in my heart and my life. And I guess that's all I have to share. God bless you guys.